Ending, let us pray. May the words of my mouth and may the meditation of all our hearts be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Please be seated. Well, there are lots of different ways to divide up the world. You can divide the world into introverts and extroverts, into those who are risk takers and those who are risk averts, and so on. And I think you can divide the world into those who are early packers and those who, an hour before the taxi comes to take them to the airport, grab the nearest bag and throw handfuls of clothes into it, shouting, "Honey, have you seen my passport?" So I fall into the camp of the early and zealous packer, and I pass no judgment on those last-minute travelers, maybe just a bit. You see, I love to travel, I really do, and for me, part of the joy of traveling is the anticipation of the journey. I love poring through guidebooks and planning my itinerary, and the open, half-filled suitcase in our bedroom is the promise and a visible reminder that an adventure is just around the corner and something wonderful is about to begin. So regardless of how you divide up in the packing scheme of things, today I'm asking you to join the Keener Club. Lent is not yet here, I realize that, but it's just around the corner. And I'm inviting you to start to draw up your lists, to get ready for the journey that is about to begin, so that when Lent starts, you don't miss a minute of the adventure. We're moving as a church through Lent on Sunday mornings this year under the theme of pilgrimage. We're going to be using this notion of pilgrimage to talk about the nature of our spiritual journey. And we're actually going to be referencing an actual pilgrimage route called the Camino del Santiago. I don't know if any of you have heard of the Camino. It's a medieval pilgrimage route. It became very popular in the 800s. It's about 500 kilometers long, and it begins in France and wends its way through the center of Spain. And medieval pilgrims would walk the route as a form of penance. And as you can see, many, many people from around the world continue to walk this route today as a kind of spiritual time for spiritual focus on God. Now, the Camino is not an easy route. It goes at one point through the Pyrenees Mountains. There's mountains to climb. There's long desert stretches where there's not much around. There's also sites of incredible beauty. There's albergues, I'm not sure how to say that, albergues, which are places of rest dedicated for pilgrims. And of course, there's some pretty spectacular places of worship for pilgrims to be renewed. And I think that this image of pilgrimage is very similar to our own spiritual journey with God throughout our lives. You know, there's moments in our lives that feel like mountaintop experiences, where we feel close to God and everything is clear. And then there are those desert stretches when God seems far away and we're just barely hanging on. There are times when our feet get blistered and sore, where life throws at us heartaches that threaten to sideline us and take us off the journey. And then there's are those wonderful places of rest, those albergues, where we, by God's grace, are renewed and refreshed and find strength to resume the journey. And just as God uses the Camino to shape pilgrims at that moment in their lives, so I believe that God uses the trials and the victories, the joys and the sorrows, the moments of grace, the moments of rest, to shape us into a pilgrim people after his own heart. We're going to be referencing one Canadian family's actual journey along the Camino. So if you're curious to learn more about what the Camino is, I've put the site of their blog in, I think it's on page 4 in your monthly bulletin. It's the Peterson family. He was then a teenager, and the three of them went together on this walk. In between, on Sundays, you're going to be going on your own pilgrimage. Lent, you see, is a kind of intense spiritual pilgrimage, or it can be that for each one of us. There's a beginning, Ash Wednesday, and an ending on Easter Sunday. And just like walking the Camino, it takes about 40 days. But while I'm the one to set the pace for our Sundays together, which will be a reflective time to rest and regroup, you have to set your own itinerary for the rest of the week. You get to choose your route in the days in between Sundays. And this is where the list making for your journey comes in. And we're actually going to take time in the middle of this sermon. Gloria's going to play some music, and you're going to have the opportunity to prayerfully consider how you want to mark Lent this year. What is going to be your itinerary for your Lenten journey? Now, traditionally, Lent is a time where we focus on a specific kinds of Christian disciplines, and I encourage you to take your bulletin now and to turn to pages 6 to 10. Start on page 6. And what I've done for you is, could you raise your hand if you don't have a bulletin, and I'll get Gord, good man, to get you one. Does everyone have a bulletin? Yep. Okay, so page 6. The traditional disciplines are these for Lent: fasting, almsgiving, giving to the poor, serving, reading and meditating on the Word of God, prayer, and self-examination and penitence. And while some of them are pretty self-explanatory, I realize that for some of you, Lent is new, or some of you may not know why we're asked to do these things for Lent. So I'm going to give a brief explanation. So what is fasting? Well, fasting is giving up food and sometimes water. And sometimes Christians would do that, you know, for 2 or 3 days in a row. Or you may have heard of this, you know, giving up meat for Fridays. You know, that's where that comes from. Giving up a meal every Thursday, say. Anglicans, do you ever hear people say, I'm going to give up, you know, chocolate for Lent? Okay, it comes from this idea of fasting. The idea is that you give something up, and when you feel the hunger pangs from the missed meal or the missed chocolate or whatever it is, that hunger is meant to remind you of your spiritual hunger for God and the time that you would have spent eating and preparing your meal or on social media, if you give that up for Lent. The time that you would have spent doing those activities is time that you now dedicate to prayer. So that's where that notion of fasting comes up. We're reminded of our spiritual hunger for God and use that time that we would normally have spent eating for prayer. Now, you want to be careful about what you chose. I chose giving up coffee 1 year, and it didn't go well for the household, and it didn't last. So choose your what you give up carefully. 1 year, we gave up, I think it was complaining with the kids. You can fast from a vice, right? With the hopes that after Lent ends, you continue that good discipline. That actually worked pretty well. So you've got some ideas around fasting. Almsgiving, that's giving, right? Giving alms. Alms is a gift to the poor. And this is meant to be a sacrificial gift that is beyond what you would normally give. So Lent is a great time to choose a cause that is close to your heart and above your normal giving to give sacrificially to that. So just to give an example, say you bring food for Gate 316 every week, and that's a cause you love, so you want to continue supporting it. But maybe you decide, I'm going to choose to give an extra gift of food, and it's going to be our family's favorite meal. In our household, that would probably be tuna casserole. So I'm going to bring an extra meal of tuna casserole each week as my alms for Lent. And there's some other ideas in there that you could choose. But I think almsgiving in a modern sense can also be about service. So maybe you've been thinking about taking on a volunteer project and you've never got around to doing it. Lent's a great time to do that. Or maybe you just want to walk through Lent with your eyes open. Open for opportunities to serve your neighbor as opportunities arise in the course of life. Not rushing out the door, but instead waiting a few moments for the elderly woman to make it to the door so you can hold it for her while she's carrying her groceries and so on. So there's some ideas for almsgiving. Meditation and reading scripture, that one's pretty obvious. If you don't already have a practice involving studying scripture, now's a great time. We also have small groups. We're doing the Spirit of Invitation. If you've never studied scripture with others, there's still time to sign up for a small group. That's a great discipline. And lastly, self-examination and penitence. I have some ideas of something, some more complex ideas that you can try. But here's a suggestion. When we confess our sins on Sunday morning, I think we leave you about 5 seconds, right? Dear friends in Christ, let us confess our sins. And we catch our breath, and then we say the general prayer of confession. What if you took time, 10 to 15 minutes before you come to church, just to reflect on your week? And to reflect on those things that you do want to confess before God. So you come to church ready to make your general confession with everyone else. I encourage you to choose one discipline that is new to you. It's always good to try new things, as with fruit and vegetables, so with disciplines. Try something new. But choose, you know, just only 2 or 3 disciplines total. Like, don't set yourself up for failure. Remember, Sundays are a party day. So we say there's 40 days of Lent, but Sundays don't count. We don't fast on Sundays. We break our fast on Sunday because it's the day of resurrection. So if you give up chocolate for Lent, you can have chocolate for dessert after Sunday lunch. And I lastly wanted to clarify that our Lenten disciplines are not a way of trying to earn God's favor. That's not what this is about. First of all, we take on these disciplines as a way of emulating our Savior. Jesus spent 40 days and 40 nights fasting in the wilderness, and so we're following his example of a disciplined time set apart for God. Second, we take on these disciplines understanding that our habits shape us, right? So if you start the habit of eating Greek yogurt for breakfast instead of a cruller every week, eventually that habit is going to shape your body. The same is true with our Christian disciplines. They are a means of God's grace, and God shapes us through our practices. And lastly, I think this is important to hear, I mean, maybe some of you are always wildly successful with your Lenten disciplines. I usually fail in some way. Part of this exercise is to remind us of our need for the cross. We're journeying towards Lent, and as we struggle with these devotions, we're reminded of the gift of being freed from the law and instead being graciously given God's love through his son Jesus. It helps us. The fast of Lent prepares us for the feast of Easter, and our failures in our Lenten disciplines reminds us of our need for the cross. I'm going to open in prayer, and Gloria is going to play some music. You're going to have time to look through now your service bulletin. You can decide your itinerary for your Lenten pilgrimage. If you have a pencil or a pen, you can circle the ones you want to take on, or put a star before the ones you want to explore. If you don't want to do this, do your own thing. Use this time for prayer. But let's bow our heads and let's pray. Loving Lord God, we thank you for this gift of time together this morning. And we thank you that your Son calls us to follow him. And as we remember his own journey into the wilderness, a time of spiritual fasting and preparation, 40 days and 40 nights, so Father, we hope to journey with your Son for these 40 days in a very intentional way in our own lives. I pray your Holy Spirit would enliven people's hearts and minds as they contemplate now the disciplines of Lent for their own journey. And I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Sing with me. The first things that Nate, Mark, and Karen Peterson did as they were getting ready for their Camino journey is they went down to Lake Ontario, and they each chose a stone to take with them on their journey. This is one of the traditions of the Camino, is you take a stone with you from your home place, and you put it in your pocket, and you carry it with you each step of your journey, with the idea that as you feel the stone in your pocket, you're reminded of the commitments you've made in this journey, and you're reminded of the reason that you've embarked on this pilgrimage in the first place. And then the tradition on the Camino is that when you arrive at the Cruz de Hierro, which is the Iron Cross, the pilgrims lay down their rocks at the foot of the cross as a symbol of laying down their burdens before Jesus. So this morning, I'm inviting you to leave this service with a rock from your spiritual home, Christ Church. They're in a container right beside the baptismal font, so you can choose your rock as you come back from communion or at the end of the service. But take a rock and put it in your purse or put it in your wallet if your clothes don't have pockets. And I encourage you to carry around this stone for the next 40 days so that whenever you see it or whenever you feel it, you're reminded of the commitments that you've made in this spiritual pilgrimage of Lent and of the particular itinerary that you've chosen. And at the end of our journey, I'm going to invite you on Good Friday to bring your stones to church, and we'll lay them down at the foot of the cross. We're reminded that as we draw near to God, we do so only because God has first drawn near to us in Jesus, and that although we commit ourselves to this journey, we do so because Jesus has invited us and has promised that he will walk with us all the way. I'm going to say now a prayer that dates from the 12th century. It's in on page 4, I think, of your service bulletin, but I'm going to pray it now. It's the pilgrim prayer for people walking the Camino, but I think it works for us as well. Let's bow our heads and pray. God, you called your servant Abraham from Ur in Chaldea. Watching over him in all his wanderings, you guarded the Hebrew people as they crossed the desert. Guard these your children who, for love of your name, make a pilgrimage this Lent. Be their companion on the way, their guide at the crossroads, their strength in weariness, their defense in danger, their comfort in discouragement, and the firmness of their intentions, that through your guidance they may arrive safely at the end of their journey, and enriched with grace and virtue, may return to their homes filled with salutary and lasting joy. Amen. I'm going to invite you.